grace. Now, this is a man that was raised as a Christian and raised with Christian parents, but when he understood that message of grace, it revolutionized his excitement of going home to be with the Lord, because he began to think of different relatives that had made a decision for Christ, but they may not, on the outward appearance, looked as if they were all that excited to live for God. And he realized that it's not about all the things you do right, but it's what Christ did on the cross that made the way. So I thought I'd start this morning by sharing a scripture that it ended up being one of my dad's favorite, because it came out of the message when I shared this with him. And I want to read this. It's out of Matthew 11. It's in your notes, but I want to read it out of the message. And this is Jesus instructing the believers. And he knew what they were dealing with more than anything. He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." My dad has always been my hero. He's always been someone I could seek counsel. I was fortunate to be raised by a God-fearing mom and dad that loved the Lord. But I've come to understand this principle, and so this is what I want to set the premise, that I am a rare case of having a good, solid mom and dad that love God and train up their children. And it's not because I'm special or the Lord loves me more than any, but I believe it's because he gave me this message to pass on to others so that we can glean from this lifetime and realize today is a brand new day.
Right.
Now, in the Old Covenant, and let me just lay a premise down. In the Old Covenant, if you search it out, whenever the Bible is referring to sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, it was always biological family. Blessed is the man or woman that have many feathers in their quiver. But when we transition into the Jesus era of the New Covenant, which we live in, we see the whole scenario changes. When he refers to moms and dads and brothers and sisters, it's always in the spiritual connotation. Who is my mother, my brothers and sisters, but those that do the will of the Father? It doesn't take away from biological, but it tells you that if you did not have good biological, spiritual moms and dads, you do not take second place. Because the emphasis is to seek out and be trained up by God-fearing moms and dads so that you can glean and be all God has created you to be. Amen? Proverbs 22:6 says in the Old Covenant that we are to train up our children. The word in Hebrew for train is orally in excess. Now, we know in the New Covenant it says faith cometh by what?
Hearing
and hearing. Train up your children orally in excess. And I think back how many times I heard it and heard it and heard it, from my mom and my dad. The principles to live by. It says, "And when you are grown, they will not depart from it." I am grateful. I have five brothers and sisters. They all married Christians. They all love God. They're all celebrating. If they're not celebrating 50 years, it's going to be close to it. I am grateful that we were raised and trained up in the way that we should go, orally in excess, because as we were grown, we will not depart. My emphasis this morning is that you realize whether or not you have does not take anything away from who you are today. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:13, the prophet Isaiah said this, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." The peace that passes natural understanding when we train up our children in the way they should go, we realize it brings peace on them. And the scripture that I'm going to turn to set the foundation on this morning is, if you've got your Bible, is transitioning into the New Covenant. And this is where I want to share about my father and things that I learned that are beneficial, I believe, to all of us now. And I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 14 because it'll set the stage of what I'm saying. Here's Paul. Once you find that place, look at me. Paul, we don't hear whether he had God-fearing moms and dads. Probably didn't, because he persecuted Christians. He might have had legal ones, religious ones. He never married. But we do know that Paul was on a mission to convey a message to believers. And that's us today. And this is what it says. I do not write these things to shame you. Again, before I go any further, even as I share and I reflect upon a father's heart, all the blessings that the father produced is not to shame anybody, but to take and to glean from it to make our lives stronger for the next generation. Because for whatever reason, of six children, PK and I were the only ones that did not have biological children. But we're filled with spiritual children. And our nephews and nieces are like our children. Paul goes on to say it's better, and I know we have widows in here, it's better for you to remain single because you can devote all your time to the things of God. Amen? And we realize, husbands, we can't give 100% because we also are responsible to be a blessing to our helpmate and also to raise biological children if we are so blessed with them. Amen? So it goes on, it says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Now in Greek, that translates, you may have 10,000 boy leaders. Everybody say boy leader. A boy leader is not what he's looking for. He says, yet you do not have many fathers. Paul emphasizes, you got a lot of people out there that want to teach you things, but you don't have many fathers. I am encouraging you in the gospel. Therefore, Paul says, I am urging you to imitate me. Later on in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son. Now, was he his biological son? No. But was that his son? Yes, or Titus and others. And he continuously, one of our foundational scriptures here is out of 2 Timothy 2:2. Look you out for faithful men and women that will take what you're sharing and turn around and impart that to others. Here at Shield of Faith, we tell you if you're born again, you're a full-time minister. If you're a full-time minister, then wherever you're at, you have the capability to minister. So as you glean and you get stronger and you realize you're a minister and you realize the same Holy Ghost I have, you have, whether you have biological children or not, we are to be reproducers. And in reproducing ourselves into others is why I focus on my Father's heart. The seeds of greatness that he imparted to me, trust me, even when he was here, he chuckled and told some of you I was the least likely one to be a pastor. Probably Paul would have said the same thing, and so probably many others. You might have said you were probably one of the least in your family to make Jesus Christ your Lord and to get radical. I don't know, but God knows. And for whatever reason, you're here today because God wants you to take and to become stronger. He goes on, he says this. He says, for this reason, I'm sending you my son, Timothy, to share with you. He says, I teach everywhere in every church, and there are those around me that are puffed up. My rendering says they're arrogant. See, the whole thing is, even Jesus, as he imparted to the next generation, was not for his church to get religious. He wanted relationships. He didn't want arrogance. He didn't want the feeling of, now you've arrived, now you're really anointed. No, when you make Jesus Christ your Lord, you're anointed. What you do with that has a lot to do with whether you see yourself anointed and you yield to be used. That's the key that I want you to pick up today as we share. There is a natural, earthly release, but there's always that stronger spiritual release. What's true in the natural is even more important in the spiritual. So if we had a godly influence in our life, then you got double blessings. We know the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy relationships. Do you ever wonder why as many Christians divorce as non-Christians? Who do you think the culprit's after to break down our family structure? Yeah, our flesh is involved in it, no question. But it's the forces of darkness. A house divided can't what? He already knows that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he's already said, if two on earth shall agree as touching, and a husband and wife become one when they're married, they have an unbeatable power source to release kingdom, and that's why the enemy works double time to take out you, take out your family, take out your kids. And so, we do the opposite. We understand that, and we begin to build up to produce, we believe, strong families that take a stand in their homes, that take a stand in their workplaces, that take a stand in their play places. But they realize, where I go, God goes, because in me is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So we learn that. And we also learn, like, when the Holy Ghost came, he came with all this love. And this love that's shed abroad in our hearts is to be released in other people's hearts and lives. Amen? I heard a phrase a while back that stuck, and it said something like this: man plans, God laughs. We can try to plan everything out, God kind of laughs because he's got a plan. Many times when I'd share with my father, I don't know, Dad, I know you want to go home, be with the Lord and with your family, and you've sought out everybody and anybody that he thought needed to hear his testimony. He ran out of ideas. I says, you can plan all you want, Dad, but I do know this. He will give you the desires of your heart. You said you didn't want to get sick to go. All you wanted to do was sleep. That's what he got. But before he went, he imparted to us, his children, seeds to pass on to make families stronger and more united. Because if a house divided can't stand, a house united can't fall. And the key is, thank God for the principles. So, as I look at my earthly father, I want to start out with one of the most important principles he taught me that I believe is to be a way of life to a believer's household. And that was, love God with not just what you say, but also in your actions. And the number one thing he taught his children was to be people of prayer. He taught me the Lord's Prayer. Some of you remember back when it was debt and debtors? When it changed to trespasses, he in my nightly prayers, got me and says, son, we've changed it. We're using this now. And so he taught me that. He taught me to say prayers at night. He said, prayers at our meals. It wasn't difficult. He taught me to be a person of prayer. He shared testimonies. My mom said the whole church, my dad was a World War II vet. He married my mom, and in his early 20s, he got drafted. Ended up being a medic in the army, stationed in North Africa and some in Sicily. My mom and her church met regularly and prayed for every one of those World War II soldiers. And there were a lot in this church of probably 200. Every last one of them came home safely. Amen. And they know they attributed that to prayer. And another incident, my dad was called to go on a leave in Sicily, going up some very steep banks. There was a whole truckload going. And he just did not feel up to it. There was a check not to go. That whole truck went off the cliff and everyone died. You don't order those things, but you know when you got prayer does change things. When we started almost 30 years ago, Ruthie's not here today. She says, Pastor, I come from a good church. We prayed all the time, and all of a sudden we got into building projects, and then it was raise funds. She says, Pastor, I know prayer is in your heart. Please don't stop praying as a church. And here we are 30 years later. We have prayer every day. We pray for all of you that call this your home. We pray for your family. We pray for your kids because we believe in the power of prayer. Amen. That came by being imparted to me as a child, even when I was going through a rebellious stage of not necessarily thinking I'm hearing as much as I should, but watching. Watching. You've ever heard, I'd rather see a Christian than hear one? That's the best witness that we can be, is the example that we set for those around us. So my dad and my mom were prayer warriors, and they taught us children to do that. And we now as a church pray. We pray for Saginaw. People always say, I can't believe, Pastor, you've been coming to this pastor's prayer for years. You're calling new pastors to come. Why are you trying to unite us? Because I know how sweet and beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I am not in competition with other churches. I'm in competition with the forces of darkness, and we're all on the same team. Yeah. That was implemented by a father that never taught me that one church was better than another, but implemented in prayer. We prayed for one another. And again, the principle in the home, your kids will produce mostly by what they see versus by what they hear. Now, I'm not sharing this to bring any condemnation, because today is a brand new day. Yes, sir. And if you weren't raised by godly parents, or maybe you got saved and you were not good, thank God you're still here. And you got an opportunity to sow seeds of greatness by your example more than what you're saying. Amen? So he taught that. The other thing my dad was very strong on, he taught priorities to his children. Priority was faithfulness. He taught us to be loyal to our jobs. I don't ever remember quitting a job unless there was another job unfolded. He says, be faithful, get there early, do work and do the best you can. He taught me faithfulness to church. I don't ever remember ever in my life missing church. Even when I was not behaving myself as a teenager and was a little hungover, my dad, without rebuking me, said, son, get to bed, in the morning you'll be in church. And I remember at least on two occasions getting up out of the service and going downstairs where the bathroom was to barf my cookies. And dad just smiled as he made sure me and the other five brothers and sisters were sitting in that row hearing the gospel that I did not necessarily want to be there. But thank God that they didn't give me a way out. They continuously encouraged me to stay faithful, connected, and loyal. To this day, I don't want to miss church. When we were in the early stage of marriage, we always found some place to worship. Not because we're in bondage. We know the principle is so important. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God, and they'll bear fruit as they get my age and older. Whatever you do, family, make it a priority to be planted in the house of the Lord and be a prayer warring families. And if you haven't been, today's that brand new day. In Jesus' name. Amen. I remember one Sunday morning, it was snowing so hard, I thought, oh good, we'll miss church this morning. We lived 2 miles out of town. My dad got on his Ellis Chalmers with a plow on it, plowed us to the nearest main road. I couldn't believe it. He says, okay, kids, we got a route to the highway. And we went to church. I'm telling you, the church was in town. There weren't that many people that made it. But the Townsend clan did. Because dad made it a priority to not look for a way to be an excuse to be with the family of God. He taught the significance of bonding with brothers and sisters in the Lord. He had Bible studies at his house. Mom and dad were involved in Christian groups and studies. They took communion to the shut-ins. They would go and pray for the people and sick. They didn't see themselves as pastors. They saw themselves as children of God looking to be a blessing to others. Amen. Quietly, not ringing the doorbell. So the principle, way back when the Lord called PK and I into pastoring, it wasn't to be lords over somebody. It wasn't that some special anointing. I realize we all are anointed, but somebody's got to tell us. Amen. Somebody's got to show us. Somebody's got to impart those principles that I learned as a child to set very important priorities in my life that would carry over into a lot of other people. Amen. When Pastor Mike and I go places, how's it work there? How can you have Pastor Mike? It's because he's my son, because he's been produced. When he's speaking, I'm hearing myself speak. Chaplain Chuck's been with us for years. When he ministers in the prison or we minister, I hear me. Why? Because he's my son. And those that you hang with, you reproduce yourself to them. Why would you be threatened? I think you should be excited. A father wants to take his children higher than himself. A boy leader just wants you to think they're somebody. You are not created to be boy leaders. You're created to be fathers and mothers of the faith. And that's why some of you senior ladies, the Lord says you're to teach the younger ladies how to be good wives and husbands, mothers, sisters, aunts and uncles. You are never challenged in there that you are in a retirement stage. You don't retire in the kingdom of God. You may retire from a natural job, but you're not retiring from being a minister until, like my dad at almost 99, he was called home. In this particular setting, my mom's already in heaven. He's sharing with grandkids. He's sharing with his youngsters, great-grandchildren, the principals that he wanted them to carry on with. I'm telling you, there's significance if we take the seeds and we make it a reality today. Say today.
Yes, today.
Make it a priority. Make it a priority. Someone once said when I was raising up, says, oh, you know, he said, why don't you have an issue with giving? Because you'd see people out there con people, hey, if you give, you'll get a healing and all that. Because my dad taught me how it was so important for us to have a home away from home called church. And he says, honey, I can't explain it. All I know is whatever you make, take 10% and give it back to God because he will keep you blessed. Now, I would like to say immediately as a kid, because I watched my dad put his check in, and we were not surplus in our younger years, but dad continuously got promoted. He continuously became even a big shot in his company, even though he didn't act like a big shot. He straightened out issues. He retired once. They hired him for another company in town. He straightened that one out. He retired. They hired him for another one. It's because the seeds of greatness that my dad was releasing was continuously being gleaned by others.
Amen.
And that's why we do what we do. Because until the Lord calls us home, we're on a mission to accomplish what God has set before us. And like Paul says, this is not to shame. This is to encourage you. My son Timothy and Titus and those, I'm imparting this so they turn around and do the same. So if you've been fortunate to train your children up, great. But if you haven't, you're not dead. You still got time. We need spiritual fathers and mothers that will invest the principles of God. So as dad prospered, he always shared it with his family. We went on vacations every summer. But we didn't go as a part-time job. He farmed. So we always had to harvest the wheat before we could go on our two-week vacation, wherever it was, up north or out west. And I'd always say, oh, Dad, can't we have some? Nope, we got to do this. So we'd harvest this, and then I said, well, what are you going to do? Is this going to be extra spending money? He says, no. This field is a love gift to Billy Graham Crusades. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you're already given. Why can't we as a family be plush with this? Little did he know the principle he was teaching. It is better to give than to receive. The blessing on our lives and our family came because we learned how to cheerfully, continuously give. And so to this day, my wife and I, whatever we make, it isn't hard. If you make $100, you move the decimal one place and $10 comes to the Lord. It's an easy track. But it's because the principles of God. And the Bible says when you bring in that which is, you're telling the Lord, he is Lord over your finances. And it's also telling your church, I love what's happening there, and I want to help you carry out that vision, because this is my home away from home. Some of you, it's in your blood. Others are newer, but I'm telling you, we never beg. And if you come and you don't want to give, it's okay. It's not about whether you give, but I'm telling you, the windows to open up, everything reproduces after its own kind. I learned that in my early years of being raised in the things of God. He was committed to God, his family, his job. My dad taught me how to love my wife, not because he preached to me, but he showed me. He loved, he kissed, he hugged my mother. I saw him continuously pat her. They had their date. You know, I have a date day on Fridays, people know. That was imparted because my dad did. We kids got so mad at mom. Did what? Don't leave us. We don't want a babysitter. As they went out and had time together. And my dad would tell me it's very important that you give everything. Keep it romantic. Keep it loving. And it's still 50 years later, both. And it didn't just happen overnight. It was watching them live their life and thinking, huh. And you know what I thought when I was sowing my oats out there, drinking and carrying on, which my dad never hit me up on that. He probably knew. I kept telling myself, I want to be like my father. When I get older, I want to do what he does. You see, he gave us this example. We would go to my aunt's and uncle's houses, and even if they smoke or drank, he never made them to be less. He never said, oh, they're bad because they did this. He would just set me aside, says, honey, when you indulge, you're not yourself, and it opens up avenues that aren't healthy for you. He never put down my aunts and uncles, never made me think that they were less because they did these types of things. So I come into this relationship, and I found most people beat up people in the body of Christ on an area they got free from. They kill the ones that aren't yet free in those areas. And I'm thinking, I thank God that those principles were not beating me up, but I got to see it patterned, and I got to see it lived, and I wanted to be that man. And I'm telling you, church, we want to be that man or woman. We want to be a God-fearing man or woman that will impart to the next generation. If you're in the men's group, you know how I continuously, I always tell families, if you got kids, don't put the kids in the back room. Let them cruise. Let them hang out with you. I remember when the Mikey's kids were young. Yeah, let's take them on trips. Let them see how it's supposed to be. Have a good time. It's not shuffle them off and mom and dad. No, it's important that they see it's exciting Christian life. Or the Roberts or the Larsons or you with small children. Don't keep your kids away from adults that love God. They need to see the patterns being laid out for them. Amen. It will change their life. And keep them strong and protect it. It works. Amen? Amen? My dad taught me respect. And I remember my dad worked long hours. And my mom would get on his case when he'd come home. Because the supper would be late. And they would start arguing. They weren't perfect. And I would try to take my dad's side. Because I thought he was in the right. I never got rebuked quicker and faster. Don't you ever show disrespect to your mother. And it was no more taking sides. And in relationships, it's not a thing to take sides. And if you've been through broken relationships, whatever you don't want to do is alienate your kids against their mother or their father. You need to focus them on the best in them, whether or not they're serving God or not. It is not our role to point out junk. Our role is to encourage and be that harbor of love, releasers to others. So that same unforced rhythms of grace that we receive from Jesus. Thank God, Jesus, that you look beyond and you heard my parents' prayers. And yes, I do attribute to what kept me out of jail probably and kept me out of a lot of situations was their prayers for their children, including me. To this day, I do the same for praying for you. I used to tell, when I got older, I used to tell my mom and dad, your prayers kept me out of the wrong relationships. Because when it looked like it was going to get intimate, something would always fall through. And I thought, gosh, how did that happen? And then they taught me, and they said, it's nothing more beautiful than to learn the relationship of love for the first time, a husband and wife. And yeah, it's entertaining, but we both enjoyed learning what that all meant. No, I didn't have any sex ed classes. No, I knew the guys were trying to tell me, and I felt inferior because I didn't have all these notches on the belt. I'm here to tell you, your children are a precious gift, and they need to note that. And I'm telling you, dads, You need to tell your daughters how beautiful they are. You need to tell them how precious they are. You need to let them see who they really are. Because if they don't hear it from you, Dad, they'll get it from the wrong source that will say what they think they'll hear. And that's why so many fall into that trap. So we pray for our dads. Date your daughters. Take them out on a date. Let them see how a real man of God treats their daughters. And you mothers, my mother taught me how to respect women, and she taught me how to walk on the outside of the curve. She taught me to open up doors and for my wife. And to this day, I still open up car doors. I open up. It's because it was imparted to me to be a gentleman. Moms and dads, your role is to live it, but also train up your children. Train your girls and your guys. It's important. Love is beautiful, and love is something precious to hang on to. And we pray when we list that, Pastor Mike knows, we pray for the innocence to be on your children, that they'll not have to undo things, because it's not hard to see that a lot of people have fallen into that, and there's all kinds of junk that has to be worked out of their lives. If you've been part of that, it's okay. God restores. But you got to help us so others don't have to fall into that trap. Love is beautiful. Love is meant for marriage. And we have to be the body that demonstrate that to the best of our ability. And we can do it.
Amen.
Because we've got the greater one inside us.
Yes, sir.
My dad was full of wisdom, and he shared it with me often. He knew me. I was going to be a veterinarian. I love animals. I watched animals in our household die, and I thought, well, I'll be a vet and save them. So I'm graduating, and my dad sits me down. He says, honey, I had you take business classes because I thought that would help you. But your sister's a teacher. You love sports. You love to coach. You've been coaching Little League even as you're finishing up your mantle here. And he says, do you know how many more years you got to go to school to be a veterinarian? He told me. He says, if you're a teacher, you get your summers off. You also get long holidays. Boom. It's like lights went on. I changed from going to Michigan State. I'd only had one class there to go to Central Michigan because that was the place for teachers. That's where my sister had gone. That's how I ended up. The Lord wanted me to be a teacher because He wanted me to get in the school system and work with kids, and He wanted me to be a counselor, and He wanted me to be a coach because that was going to be fuel we can use to make others stronger down the road. Amen? So the wisdom. I remember when my dad talked me into going into the service. He says, son, he set me down. He says, you got bad feet, but you're probably going to get drafted after 4 years of college. Your brother-in-law is in Vietnam now. You need the discipline, but I don't want you numb. Could I talk you into going into the Army National Guard? And of course, 18-year-old gung-ho, sure. So I enlisted. And that was before, some of you remember, you drew numbers. Down the road, I drew 300 and something. I probably wouldn't have got drafted. But my dad knew. He wanted me to get the disciplines, but he didn't want me overseas in Nam. So I signed up, and I went in. And I remember I was in doing the step-by-step before they even sent me to South Carolina, Fort Jackson. And I remember all the things I was learning from my team. And then I went. My school let me, I was a freshman in college. They let me finish my classes. My dad was excited to get me. I got there. I'm working through this. And lo and behold, they made me the sergeant. We called it a platoon guide. You're over this whole squad, 18-year-old, wet behind the ears, and I had to orchestrate 40 soldiers. And I was proud of that, and I was telling Dad, sending him letters. He was writing me. By then, I was engaged to PK, and I was thinking, Dad, this was good. Then my feet fell apart. I'm just getting ready to graduate and head back to where we were going to be married. And they sent me to sick bay, and the doctors tried to do what they could for my feet. They adjusted my boots. You got two boots. Or two pairs of boots when you went into basic training. They put some supports. It's hereditary. My mom and three of us kids had it. Her mom had it. But it's where calluses form on your feet instead of just going away, they create blisters under it, and then you get blood blisters. I'm doing these marches out there, and all of a sudden my feet are falling apart. And I kept thinking, I can do it, I can do it, I can get through it, and it was killing me. So the doctor fixed one pair of my boots up and had all these cushions in there. And my feet began to break down, and they began to bleed. And so, of course, the sergeant's saying, what's wrong? And they said, you got to get back there. So they say, we got to send you home. And I wasn't disappointed to go home because I couldn't wait to see my beloved. But I thought of my dad, because you never quit anything. And maybe I can just weather through the... They said, no, we're sending you home. You're going to be honorably discharged, but you are no longer... And I thought, but if I get back, it's just a couple weeks in the summer, and it's a week thing. But the key is my father. I did not want to disappoint my father. And I thought, when I came home, I was overjoyed when I surprised my fiance, and we were soon married after that. But again, these principles of commitment and faithfulness, Dad, thank you. Thank you for the direction you've had in my life. And I was thinking, that Dad, that you blessed my life. You're my hero. You're always the one I call when I have a hard decision to make. I don't have that from him anymore, but I know he's in heaven. I know he's a blessing. I want to show you just a few hours before he passed. If Nathan can put picture two up there. This was my father a few hours before he passed. I come in to the household. My wife and I had been home the weekend, said our goodbyes because he was getting excited. He says, I'm this far, now I'm this far from going. And talk about excited. I get a call from my sister. He now can't get up. It looks like he's going to go real soon. So I get home, and I'm just weeping on my dad's shoulder because it's not for him. I'm weeping for me, man. I'm thinking, I won't have my dad anymore. And he grabs my arm, comforts me, and says, it's okay. It's going to be okay. You'll spend eternity with me. And I was thinking all the times, I said, Dad, I don't know why you're still here, but I know eternity is forever. Isn't it exciting that we're all going to spend eternity together?
Amen.
See, this was my dad a few hours before he passed. Never got sick. In fact, we called hospice. And at the end, what's happening? He's still breathing, but he's still here. They said, because he's not sick. His body's still saying, I got to survive. His spirit says, I'm out of here. So we laughed with the kids. But he goes from this state to, this is my dad now. They say about 30 is about what you get to be. And this is my dad and mom now. So tell me that's not exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's my mom and dad. They're celebrating with their moms and dads and all my aunts and uncles that have gone on. That's our destiny, church. Can you see why it's so important today? Make it be the most important day of decisions that we make. Because there is hope. And I want to finish with this scripture out of Romans. Romans chapter 15. And I'm going to close with this, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. When my sister called me and says, Dad is ready to go, and he keeps saying, joy, 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 joy. When I got down to see him, he says, I am so full of joy and peace, I can hardly contain it. I'm telling you, when we get that close to glory, it's exciting when you know where you're going. Amen?
Amen.
And I challenge all of you that have been tuning in also to realize how important you are to those that still remain. To maybe your children now, maybe your grandchildren, or maybe it's just to be a blessing to others. Because God is not done with us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we do lift up the name of Jesus this day, and we thank you. I thank you for all my beautiful brothers and sisters and all the seeds of greatness that you've imparted in them and for them and around them. And I pray that today be life-changing. Life-changing in the sense that we realize how significant the God is that lives in us, that we let him get out and be a blessing to those that come in contact with us. And we give you the praise and the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, Karen Bluer's not here, Harold, I'm telling you, Lee, Morgan, and all of these, David Johnson, all these that were part of this, they're celebrating in heaven. That's the exciting thing. Rachel's mom, Mrs. Chipman, another one, and you've got loved ones that know the Lord. How exciting to know that one day we'll laugh about these challenges. Amen? Amen. God bless. Love on one another.